time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, yes, we're here, and today is the, second day of May? Yes, already. And, Fred Malone is my guest today. Before I get to Fred, I wanted to mention, earlier last year, Terry Klein and I went down to Newark, Ohio, to talk to the NASA people who had their trailer there on display, the same trailer that was here at the airport this past September. Well, when I got to talking to the NASA representative, I said, you know, ironically, Marion is where the crawler transporter was built. He said, Marion was? And he said, you know, that's ironic. We've got one of the shoes from that crawler. It weighs 1 ton. Hey, we'd loan it to Marion. And so Terry contacted the Huber people, and here's the results. The Huber Museum will dedicate a new display of a NASA crawler transporter tread shoe on Saturday, May the 18th at 1 o'clock. And they'll have that shoe on display plus other items from NASA. And so that's how things happen. The guy from NASA had no idea Marion built the crawler transporter. And here we end up with one of the shoes on loan. Probably for years. How about that, Fred?
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. You never know what's going to happen when you make those connections, do you?
That's right. And that shoe weighs 1 ton.
That's amazing.
So the Huber people had to find somebody to go up to Cleveland and load it up and bring it back.
Can you imagine if the shoe weighs a ton, how much the entire thing weighed?
Yeah.
It would be
probably over a million pounds.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. That's
interesting.
Fantastic. Yeah, it is.
So that's May the 18th at the Huber Museum, 1 o'clock. Okay, well, Fred, it's been a while since you were on, so what's been happening?
Yeah, well, a lot has been going on. Again, I apologize for not being able to be here on my scheduled time, but, you know, things come up every day, and I've been really busy over at Malabar doing a number of things, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. I did want to mention that my wife and I and President and Mrs. Benjamin Harrison hiked Love Oak Park on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yes. And of course, that's Tom and Carolyn Batchelder from Shelby that do the Harrisons. But, you know, that's a great place to hike. We got there around 10 o'clock in the morning, met at 10 o'clock in the morning, and their visitor center is absolutely fabulous there.
Yes.
And the girls inside were really nice, and they were preparing for a school group. The gal that runs the place was telling me between now and June 15th, I believe, she said there were only 3 days that they didn't have school groups coming.
Wow.
Now, that's really good that they do that kind of work.
Yeah.
But we started out hiking about 10:15, and we did both the trails.
Okay.
Started out going down and where the lookout was,
right,
and then proceeded on around. And eventually we ended up down at the point where the two creeks come together and form the Sandusky River, which is really kind of it kind of gives you chills a little bit when you stand at that point where those two creeks come together. And I can't remember the names of them
Paramore
now.
Paramore is one.
And you look a few feet in front of you where they're blending in, and there's the Sandusky River.
Amazing. And then goes all the way to Sandusky Bay.
Oh, like 130 miles.
Yeah.
Or 150 miles, something like that. And then you realize that the Battle of Sandusky occurred in that area.
Yes, right.
With Colonel Crawford
captured right there.
Yeah, it's your living history right in front of you.
I've been a member of the Crawford Park District for years, and have participated in an awful lot of their events. And it's just great what can be done. Now, I think it was Timken that donated $300,000 to build a nice big auditorium like that.
Oh,
they
it's
have.
Great. It's absolutely great.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is. Now, what was the gentleman's name that from Crawford County? Can't think. He's gone now. He was a biology, top biology.
Sears.
Sears.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, there's a Malabar Lloyd Brumfield connection with Sears.
Really?
Lloyd Brumfield helped Sears have some publication done that he was working on with some other author.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a Malabar connection even with Sears and the Lowell Volk Park.
Yeah. Sears wrote a book about
That's the one that Louis helped him get published.
Oh no!
Yes,
kidding.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I once had that book.
Yes, yes, yes.
Interesting.
So it's funny because you know when you stop and think about the connections that Lloyd Brumfield had throughout Central and Northern Ohio, this just never ends. We're constantly running across some contact.
And
in the one room, the auditorium room, is the large map of the Sandusky Plains that was created by Kensel Clutter. Right.
Yeah.
And I told the girls that were there, I said, Do you know the story about the map? And they said, no, not really. And I told them Kensel Clutter. And I said, and of course, he's going to be, I think he's going to be 100 this year.
And
wasn't he born in 19?
Yeah.
I think he was born in 1919.
Yeah. His buddy, Bob Schroetz, just died.
Oh, he did.
Bob, his obituary was in yesterday.
Oh, I missed that.
His mission in World War II, he was in the lead B-17 on D-Day.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, can you imagine?
And had, I think, flew 30 missions at least.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
That's amazing.
And survived.
Yeah, and came home.
While Kensel got shot down.
Shot down, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I thought that was pretty amazing. But a wonderful place. I would, you know, Tallgrass Trails is nice. I mean, it's a nice place to ride your bike or hike. But doesn't compare to Lowell Volk because Lowell Volk has trails that go down, as I said, the convergence of the Sandusky River, and a lot of the trails are along the river, so you can see the creek or the river while you're there.
It's really great.
And then next Monday, the same group, the four of us, are going to go over and do the Heckert nature.
The Heckert place is where CKM Park was located,
and that's on 19.
Yes,
mm-hmm. State Route 19,
and there were rumors, I don't know if it was ever true, that a lot of Indian tribes met there and never fought each other, were at peace while they met there.
Really?
In that area, and then moved on.
Well, the girls there at the Visitor Center was telling us that there are a lot of nice trails over there, too.
Yeah. Yes.
So we're very much interested in that. And we just really enjoyed our time over there.
I made shingles over there for years at their yearly doings.
And then, of course, they were promoting the Savannah, which is just out here on Mary Melmore Road.
That's right, yeah.
What is that, 30 acres, 35 acres, something like that?
At least, yeah. trees that survived even when the Indians burned the grass.
Yeah, right, yeah. The prairie grass, right, yeah. Absolutely. So we're going to hit that, too. I've driven past it hundreds of times and never have stopped and walked back through there, so...
Have you? Oh, you? Yes, you've probably been to the Indian Mill.
Oh yeah, many times.
Yeah, right.
Many times. Many times. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, if you're looking for something to do between Wyandotte County, Marion County, Crawford County, Seneca County, this whole surrounding contiguous area, Delaware County included, there are some really nice parks that you can go to, and they don't cost you a dime.
That's the nice part,
Take a lunch, take a picnic, make sure you take plenty of water. But go enjoy these places because it's just fabulous what you can learn, what you can see.
Yeah.
And to me, I told my wife when we were standing there in the convergence of those two creeks, and I look ahead and I see that's the beginning of the Sandusky River and what took place here. It just absolutely gives me chills.
And right up above, the little road that goes through Leesville is the old original Route 30.
Yeah, and when you're standing on the one portion of the trail where the one of the creeks comes through, you're looking up over the bank, and there is Leesville.
Yes,
you can see it right there.
Yeah, so. Mr. I think Lee might have been a preacher that formed Leesville. But every month or so, have a get-together of people from Leesville and related their stories that they could remember.
Really?
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what amazed me about that portion of the creek that comes through there, and that they were pretty full of water, too, with all the rain we've had.
Yes.
So it was pretty fast-moving, some pretty fast-moving water through there, was all the shale outcroppings from the bank.
Right. And there was an old... A mill, but
I noticed a lot of
quarry.
A lot of big foundation stones in
there.
That's
right. So. There's a book written about that quarry.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
And in the big building, of course, a display of snakes and other wildlife, including a hellbender.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
My wife.
Pretty good size too.
It.
Pretty good size hellbender.
Yeah. Yeah, it's growing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, anyway, I wanted to pass that on to you because you know you talk about Lowell Oak Park, and I know you were a member over there, and they have a lot of picked up one of their newsletters. They've got some really great upcoming events in May.
Yes,
that they're still to come, and then in June, I think. I think May they have their Revolutionary War encampment in May, and then their Civil War encampment in June, something like that.
Yeah, in June, and then they have an astronomy club.
Now. Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
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 And they meet, I don't know if it's once a month or whatever, and they'll even supply telescopes.
Are we on break?
Is there a...
Oh, no. I heard something in the background.
Okay.
But anyway, I want to pass that on. It was a great time. We're going to do, as I said, we're going to do the Heckert reservation or whatever you call it next week, and I'm looking forward to that as well. So we coming up here pretty soon? Or
no. Oh, let me see. What time is it? It's 10:27.
We got a few minutes yet.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things going on, Charlie. Spring is obviously a time when things are blooming, and that was the other thing about our trip to Lowell Oak the other day. The spring flowers, the wildflowers, were starting to bloom, and they're absolutely gorgeous
over there.
Isn't
that something? Yeah.
Really, really pretty. Got to see a lot of different specimens. Didn't see any wildlife other than a few squirrel, but snakes, of course, will start to come out now,
out
of hibernation, and so you'll see a lot of those things.
And yesterday, the hummingbirds came back to our...
Ah, yes. I've got to put my hummingbird feeder up now.
Oh, that's a sight to see. And I've had a rose-breasted grosbeak. He migrates through the area, and you see him maybe once or twice. And then this morning, a rose-breasted nuthatch, which you don't see very much.
No.
You see the white-breasted.
No.
So a lot of things
are happening.
A lot
of things coming back.
Tulips are blooming. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Nice time of the year. I wish we'd had just a little less rain. I think we've been kind of overwhelmed.
Can you imagine if you were a farmer? What you'd be tearing your hair out.
Yeah. Well, everything is so soft. In fact, it was just about everywhere we hiked on Monday was pretty wet.
Sure.
And some of the lower areas around the creeks and down along the river, they were very, very wet. So I would recommend if you're going over, make sure you wear some waterproof boots or something that will repel water, and take an extra pair of socks along with you. But
did you notice the fog this morning?
Oh, yeah, it was extremely foggy. Yeah. I was surprised some of the schools around here weren't delayed.
Yeah, there were two of them delayed. I think Elgin, maybe in Pleasant, I don't know. But, yes, it got thicker and thicker as for a while.
Well, I noticed on the Channel 6 News this morning, they were showing down south of Columbus. It was
really
fogged in down there.
But the thing is, one after another, cars going by our house, and zero visibility almost.
No, but did anybody have their lights on?
Yeah. I don't know how they got
their
driver's license.
I don't know what that is. Really, yeah. It makes no sense to me.
And, you know, the State Patrol would have a hard time stopping any of these to cite them because it would be too dangerous.
Sure, yeah. Try to pull somebody over.
Yeah.
Yeah, extremely. Well, we've got some things coming up that the Marion County Historical Society want to talk about.
We got about 30 seconds until we break.
I'll just mention that starting yesterday, the 1st of May, the museum is now open with our regular summer hours, Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4 every
one
day.
1 to 4?
1 to 4 every day.
What does it cost to get in?
You know, Charlie, they raised the price, and I'm ashamed to say I don't remember what it is. I think it's $5 and $4 for seniors, I
somewhere
believe. It's
there,
a minimal cost. Yeah, right. It's a minimal cost.
Right.
And, of course, if you're a member of the Marion County Historical Society, you get free admission anytime you want.
That's right. And if you pay or don't pay, you get a free box of popcorn.
That's true. Absolutely. on your departure. So.
And I take pride in saying I was the first one to ever make a bag of popcorn out of that machine.
Were you really?
Yeah. Well, so it's been there a long time.
It has been. Yeah,
okay,
it has been.
We're going to break now. We'll be back in about 2 minutes here on WWGH. So don't wander off. You never know what's coming up.
Hey, Scott, I bet you cannot guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black Lab.
No, Golden Retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and I mentioned it earlier, but the Huber Museum will have on display the... Okay, here we go. This is a second. Okay, go ahead, caller. Hello?
This is an important message. Do not hang up the phone. Your Google Business listing is at risk of displaying incorrect...
Hey,
we've
lady.
We've numerous times to contact you by telephone...
It's a recording.
Yeah, it's a recording.
Well, that's live radio.
We're not recorded today.
Now, I keep hearing that there may be something coming out that we can eliminate robos altogether.
Well, the latest AARP magazine or newspaper that came had a number in it to call, and my wife and I call all of our phones in. So it takes about 30 days for it to register. But,
is that right?
And it said it won't eliminate all of them, but it'll eliminate about 90% of them.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, my land, the same calls every day.
Oh, it's terrible.
Day.
Yeah, it's
every
terrible.
Day.
Yeah.
Okay, here, I don't think this, let me see. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Damn robo-dialers got in there before me.
Yes, that's right. That shows you how important you are.
No, I was surprised to find out. I emailed David DeFelice this morning, and there was a little carpe diem that was somewhat humorous, and he said, the tread is already there.
Yes.
And I couldn't believe it. I was hoping that maybe we would have been kept in the loop. I would like to have shot some video of them arriving, unloading, and placing it.
Okay, now, Saturday, May the 18th at 1 o'clock, they're going to have a dedication of the shoe. And, of course, they say it's going to be on loan from NASA in Cleveland. And they sent a card out to the members telling all about it.
Well, great.
Yeah, they're having a big doings there on May the 18th, starting at 1 o'clock.
At 1.
Yeah.
1 p.m. I'm putting in my calendar now. You know, Fred, I don't know if you know about this or not.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Or anybody else. Well, how we came to get that tread, how it was offered.
Yeah, I told our listeners how that happened.
He told the story earlier.
Yeah. So, you know, it just goes to show how some things happen in really roundabout ways.
That's true.
Serendipitously.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of like business. You never know who you're going to be doing business with next.
You don't. You really don't.
So,
you don't.
No, that's really exciting to see that. It would have been more exciting than last year's fly-in for people say, what is that?
Yeah.
What is this thing? But at least we have it on loan there at the museum, and hopefully it'll bring some people in and get a look to just get an idea of the scale
of this thing. And with the weight of this thing, it probably wouldn't have been too easy to move to different locations. So it's probably just as well that it made the move, and it's where it's going to be on permanent loan now, or at least temporary loan, whatever the situation is. I think Charlie said it. What did you say it weighed, Charlie? A ton?
1 ton.
1 ton. So it's something you just pick up and move around.
Yeah. Just think of all the deadhead sinkers you could make if you want to go to the River Walleye.
Oh, boy.
And Terry, you're the one that contacted the people at Huber to tell them about the availability, and there you can see the end result.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Well, hey, you know, you never know little things that you plant. You never know how they're going to grow.
Well, that's right.
While I've got you on the phone, Terry, I'm looking at the week of May the 13th for you and I to make our little road trip.
So May 13th?
Sometime that week. So take a look at your calendar, and then I'll get back with you.
Right now, I'm wide open.
All right. Sounds good.
So we'll figure something out.
Definitely.
Okay.
All right.
Good show. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Back to Fred Malone.
Okay, so the museum is open. We'll be opening today at 1 o'clock. So if you want to come up today and join the Historical Society and become a permanent member of our ever-growing group, we would certainly appreciate it. But the new exhibit, of course, is there, and we're featuring 1969 as our feature year because this is the 50th anniversary of the Marion County Historical Society's formation.
Oh, there's a... The phone is ringing. Just a second, Fred. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Charlie, is there a way that Fred can give Scott that number about the robocalls and we can all do it?
Sure, yeah. I'll give him a call. I don't have it with me, but I'll call back in and they can announce it tomorrow. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yep. Because I contact the public utilities, different places, and nobody could do it because I had, like, in a month or so, I had like 2 or 3 pages where they just kept calling.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's awful. Well, this was in the AARP newspaper that comes out every couple of months or so, and we just made the call last week, I think, called them in. So.
Okay, yep. I've got that.
Yep.
I haven't looked at it.
Oh, well, it's in your paper, but yeah, if I can still find it at home, I'll call back in. They give it on the air, too.
Yeah, of course, maybe Scott's. Could say that because everybody's complaining.
Oh,
about
yeah. It's ridiculous. We get at least, I don't know, half a dozen or more a day. It's crazy.
Well, most of mine are like student loans, and I think, well, I'm 75. I don't
fill
it with the
college. I hear you.
Don't get it.
I hear you. Okay,
Jeannie. Okay, goodbye.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. Yes. Oh, my. My wife gets mad at me sometimes because when some of these people call, I imitate their accent.
Oh, back to them.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do, if I answer the phone at all, and I've gotten so I don't even answer it anymore, but I'll pick it up, and before they start their spiel, I'll say, well, listen, give me your number, and I'll call you back later at home.
Hey, we have another caller. Go ahead.
One way I have found to stop the robocalls is set your home phone to go to message after 2 rings.
There you go.
All the companies have quit calling me. But we're repeat companies because they don't want to do that.
Good idea.
Good idea.
Yeah.
But it's working.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's an aggravation, and it's just like
something. Yeah.
It is. It's just like so many other things that. There's always somebody out there though to scam you. That's the problem,
and they
target older people because they know we're. We're trusting for one thing, and we're not tech savvy, so you really have to be on your guard anymore. Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the museum, as I said, this is our target year to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the formation of the Marion County Historical Society, right. Which was founded in 1969, and we've been in our current location since 1989, so we've actually got a couple of anniversaries going on right now. So the new exhibit officially opened yesterday for the season, and you can see that. A lot of things have changed in the museum. When I talk to people, I say, stop up to the museum. Oh, I've been there before. Well, you might have been there before, but things change all the time.
Right.
That museum has, in the last 15 years, going back to when Gail took over the museum, we started changing exhibits at least in the main atrium of the museum once a year. So everything is constantly changing. And this year, there have been some radical changes in the museum. So naturally, Prince Imperial's in his same location. The Popcorn Museum is in its same location. But a lot of things in the museum have taken a completely new facelook.
Really?
The Harding rooms have a totally new look. There are items in the Harding room. Well, it's completely been redone.
Really?
You won't recognize the room when you go in. So, and that's the case in a lot of the different locations in the museum. So you need to come and see it now that it's set up. May the 10th and 11th, which would be not this weekend, but next weekend, is our annual rummage sale. And that's an annual thing that's been going on for quite some time,
I can remember, yeah.
It's Friday, May the 10th. It starts at 4 o'clock. And then on Saturday, it starts at 9. Now, you can't get in on Friday at 4 o'clock unless you're a member of the Marion County Historical Society. So, see, there's another reason to
be
a member.
Right, yeah.
You get the first shot of those things that are in the rummage sale. And then on Saturday, the 11th, we open at 9 o'clock, and that's for the general public to come in. Now, a lot of times we have multiple items that have been given to the museum. And, of course, when you donate something to the museum, we give you a choice of what you want done with that item. You either tell us it has to be kept permanently, that we can never get rid of it, or you can give us an unconditional, which simply means that if we have multiple items like you gave us, we can take those multiple items, as long as we retain one, and we can put them up for sale with the proceeds to be used for the good of the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that quite often, especially when we get duplicates of a lot of paper ephemera and things like that.
Yes.
So if you're a member of the Historical Society, you can come on Friday and you get a first shot at those things that we have duplications of that we're getting rid of. So that's another big bonus. But anyway, if you're not, you can come on the 11th and take part in the rummage sale. And, of course, all proceeds from the rummage sale go to the general operation of the museum. Then on Saturday is the opening of Lynn School for the season. So that will also be available.
Okay, now how long or how many times will it be open?
It's open the first and third weekends of the month starting in May, and we're going to close it down in September this year.
Oh, okay.
So you can go first and third Saturdays and Sundays in May through September. And that's open 1 to 4, just like the hours at the museum would be. Then on May the 19th, the Historical Society will be participating in the annual Waldo Memorial Day Parade.
I didn't know that. Well, I should know they have.
Yeah, it's always before Memorial Day. It's always a weekend before Memorial Day. So that this year, that'll take place on Sunday the 19th. That's at 12 o'clock. The parade kicks off. We'll have the James Cannon there, and that'll be out in the cemetery. And we'll be firing volleys of the James Cannon after the parade's over. The parade starts there where the Duke Station is, form there, goes down. And turns the corner there at GNR and goes out to the cemetery. And then they have a nice ceremony out there. And again, like I said, the James Cannon will be fired. We'll have our crew there to fire the cannon. And then after the ceremonies are all over with, you're invited to go up to the American Legion Post. Is it American Legion?
American Legion
Post. And they have a free lunch.
Yeah. Hey,
so there is such a thing as a free lunch in Waldo.
Right.
And it's really a nice day.
Yeah.
Usually things are done about 3 o'clock in the afternoon or thereabouts. But you get a nice parade. You get a very nice ceremony there at the cemetery. Usually have some entertainment from the local school groups and bands and so forth. And then you get your lunch up at the American Legion. Then on May
the James Cannon. Is that Jim Sauter's cannon?
No, this is the one that belongs to the 121st. It's a
full-size
Civil War cannon, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
Yep. And then we usually have it in the cemetery after the parade here in downtown Marion as well, for the ceremonies. We fired it last year in the cemetery, and I think we've been asked to do it again this year. And that'll actually be on Memorial Day itself, on Memorial Day, right.
Okay.
And I'll call in with more information on that as soon as I get those updates. Then on May the 30th is the first, well, I guess the only lunch with the presidents that we're going to do this year. We're not going to do one in October this year for lack of interest. But this year we're doing our lunch with the presidents on May the 30th. It will be at Tri Rivers Career Center in the auditorium. It is open to the public. We do cater to bus groups, and I know we have a bus group of 50 some coming, and another smaller group, I think, of 10 or 15 coming. But we're selling tickets for that right now. They're $25 a piece, and that runs from 11:30 until 2 in the afternoon. And that's lunch with the presidents, which is along the same lines, Charlie, as dinner with the presidents, only it doesn't have quite all the pomp and ceremony as what the dinner does. But we'll have, speaking that day, we'll have George Washington, James Madison, Chester Arthur, Benjamin Harrison, Grover Cleveland, and Harry Truman.
Okay, now we're going to break. We'll be right back here in another minute or so with Fred Malone, so stay tuned.
Ted, did you know Marion, Ohio is the popcorn capital of the world?
No, Scott, I didn't know that. Could you get me some?
I don't have any at the moment.
Some capital. Does anyone have a Chicken Places number?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again with Fred Malone and caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, are you're still on commercial break, right?
No.
Oh, you're not? Well,
we're on the air.
Okay, the delay. Your sound is off.
Really?
It's distorted.
Well.
I was trying to get a hold of Scott to see if they could fix it, but it sounds like you're in a well.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Whoops. my earphones fell off. Yeah, Scott's listening, so he'll fix that up.
Okay. Yeah. So back to the lunch with the presidents. Seating is limited, I will mention on that. So if you're interested in attending that lunch, you can do so by either stopping up at Heritage Hall, or you can call 740-387-4255, which is obviously the telephone number to the museum. So either way, but if you're interested in that lunch with the presidents, don't hesitate. Get those tickets early because May 30th is just 28 days away.
Ooh,
so
that's right. Yes,
and I think we can accommodate in that auditorium. I think we can accommodate up to 150 together. And I know we've sold 70 some tickets already. And usually we have a flurry right before the
I can imagine
the deadline. And we have to normally cut that off a week ahead so our caterer can get the menu and all laid out, because we do, as you know, we serve dishes that were eaten by the presidents that are featured at those lunches and dinners. So. Yeah. So probably she'll cut that off the Friday. Well, let's see. I'm sure that's not correct. She'll probably cut it off about a week or so before.
Okay, now that's lunch.
Lunch with the presidents. Right.
In contrast to dinner.
Exactly. And that's not
until. Dinner will be held at Dayspring,
I think. Yeah, and that's not until November, so we got a long way off on that. Okay. Although we are selling tickets already for dinner with the presidents, believe it or not. So I will mention that part of it. I won't go into any details.
Okay. I have another caller.
Okay.
Caller, go ahead.
Good morning, Charlie. Well, maybe Terry seems like that you may be in a well, but I think both of you got your heads above water to sound loud and clear on the Sony radio I got.
I think Terry's got one of those cheap Chinese radios.
okay. But you got your head above water. I hear no gurgling, and you're loud and clear here. This is the south end of town.
That's good to hear,
good.
Yes.
Have a good day.
Okay. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
Yeah, I don't think I'm drowning yet, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
So anyway, just real quickly, I will mention that tickets are available for Dinner with the Presidents, and those always sell.
They
very, very quickly, yeah, because people want to sit with the presidents, and I don't blame them. It's a lot of fun. You get to you learn a lot of interesting things about the presidents you're sitting with. So those always go first. So if you're interested in those, you can also stop up at the museum and buy those, or you can actually go online and get them online, or you can call the museum.
Okay.
You got another call.
And Terry, it's Terry. Yes, Terry, how's your radio?
Well, it's the internet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm listening on the internet.
Oh. So
they can work it from there. It's not necessarily the broadcast, but the internet.
Apparently the broadcasts are coming out, though, just fine.
Yeah.
You're very good.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
All right.
So anyway, this year with Dinner with the Presidents, we have the speaking presidents I have this year, James Garfield, Teddy Roosevelt, Warren Harding, and Dwight Eisenhower. And then I have a surprise speaker that I can't mention. But I will say that if you attend, you will not be disappointed to hear this surprise speaker, because I think it's a little known. I think it's a little known historical fact that we're going to expose to our guests that night. And also, I have Mary Ellen Withrow, who's going to speak too that night.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And then non-speaking presidents are Washington, Zachary Taylor, Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Truman, Madison, Andrew Johnson, and Chester Arthur. And then I will be serving as Master of Ceremonies this year, and I'm going to be portraying James Cox, who was the 46th and 48th governor of Ohio during the 20s.
Now, he's not the one that ran against...
He is the one that ran against Harding. Right.
Okay.
Yes. Ah. He ran against Harding in the 1920 presidential election, and his vice presidential running mate was a young fellow from New York by the name of Franklin Roosevelt.
Okay.
So that's pretty interesting, too.
Yes, okay. All right, we have, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I forgot to say anything there to the Master of Ceremonies. Fred.
Yep, with
Fred
you.
Malone. I was out there to witness you maybe impersonating somebody at the Tri-Rivers Arts and Crafts Show, but I did not see you.
I was doing Will Rogers, and I did Will Rogers for the Vaudeville show that we had over in the auditorium at 1 o'clock.
Oh, that was a time frame that you was there. Well, I didn't make that time.
Yeah.
I was out there about around 2:30 or so.
Oh, you meant you? Yeah, that I would have been. I was probably on my way out about the time you got there then.
Oh, I thought maybe you'd mingle around like the rest of them.
Well, I normally would have, but I had to be at Malabar for another event over there. It was Mohican Wildlife Weekend in Malabar last weekend. So,
well, it's a shame you got a title there that you aren't able to say nothing about it in this free world today. Well, I'll make tears come down my eyes.
I'll tell
you. Anyhow, the girls, the ladies, I don't know, they was dressed in old apparel, but I saw a foxtail hanging out, two of them. They had it in the right area.
Really?
The back. And some of them might have been offended. I said, there's a red fox. With a white tip on the tail. And one turned around like, who are you?
Who are you?
I'm gonna give a nice compliment. What would you have one hanging outside your apparel if you didn't want to comment on it?
I wonder, were those the people from the Renaissance Fair?
I have no idea.
I bet they probably were. It was a really good event. I think they had a nice turnout that day. I haven't talked to Brandy yet to find out how we did financially, but I think the turnout was real well. At least there were a pretty good crowd there when I was there.
Yeah,
Vaudeville show was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing Will Rogers. In fact, I did him a couple of times for the Senior Center, the Marion Senior Center, too. We did performance over at the Senior Center itself, and then we did one down in Delaware, too. So,
sure. I was always a fan of Will Rogers.
Great guy.
He met a man he never... there wasn't a man he never met that he didn't like.
Exactly. In fact, I used that line, Ted, but I said, you know, this Congress has got me to rethinking about that. I don't know what them critters are doing down there in Washington, but it sure isn't the people's business.
Well, then my phrase after I got older, there wasn't a man or a woman
that I met that I never liked.
There you go.
All men and women are created equal.
Exactly.
But, yeah. But was you, in body built, was you the same height, weight, and stuff as Will Rogers?
Oh, no. No, he was much, much taller than me. Yeah.
I figured he was about 6 foot, man.
Yeah, yeah, he was. He had me by about 4 inches, yeah. Yeah,
4 inches, well.
But I had my cowboy boots on. That added about 2.5 inches.
Will Rogers, he was really active with that rope. Did you do any rope work?
No, I didn't have a lasso with me that day. And I told him, I said, you know, I usually do rope tricks, but a spinning rope's a nice thing to have, but not around your neck.
Not where? Nice thing to have, but not where?
Not around your neck.
Well, this depends. If you have a good sharpshooter, most of the cowboys and stuff I see.
Shoot that right off of you.
Yeah. And Clint Eastwood, about half a mile away with that long rifle and that scope on it.
Could have done it.
A rope they call hemp now. Oh, no, that's another. That's something else.
That's a horse of a different color.
Well, that's, yeah, it'd be green, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
hey,
right.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was a lot of fun doing Will Rogers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, tell me, it sounded to me like it was the development of a Renaissance festival.
Well, they had Queen Elizabeth and her entourage there, and I think she's become kind of a fixture at these things that they have once a year here in Marion. She actually, from what I understand, she likes coming up here and doing this. It's kind of and it's good advertisement for the Renaissance Fair.
That's right.
But
that Renaissance Festival goes on for weeks. And
oh
weeks,
yeah, I think
it?
I think it's several weekends in a row.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's in the fall, I believe.
Yes.
But the event that we had was very good, and like I said, I enjoyed doing Will Rogers. I was a little disappointed. We had a couple of our acts that were supposed to be at the Vaudeville show weren't able to make it. We were supposed to have Mark Twain, and something came up at the last minute. He wasn't able to come, and we were supposed to have another Vaudeville act that couldn't make it. So, but. I think the crowd was good, and I think it's something they'll probably continue in the future as long as they're making a profit on it. You know,
yeah, right.
You have to turn some sort of a profit, but that's what all these events are all about.
True.
You know,
yes.
they're for raising money.
Yes.
But I know that Doug Ebert and his crew put in a lot of hard work putting it together, and they deserve a lot of accolades for it. But
okay.
I wanted to also mention, Charlie, that there are tickets being sold now for the First Ladies Luncheon, which is along the same format as the luncheon that we have for the presidents. We do the meals based on the foods that the ladies ate when they were first ladies. And that is going to be held this year on Saturday, August the 10th, and that also is at Tri Rivers Career Center. And you can get those tickets by either stopping up at the museum or calling the museum number 387-4255. And this year I have, speaking at the event, Abigail Powers Fillmore, who was the wife of Millard Fillmore, and he was the 13th president of the United States. I've got Mary Arthur McElroy, who was the sister of Chester A. Arthur, the 21st president of the United States. And Chester Arthur's wife died before he could take office.
Really?
So he incorporated his sister as his first lady while he was in the White House. And then I have Claudia Lady Bird Johnson, who was the wife of LBJ, and he was the 36th president. And then we have Barbara Pierce Bush, who was the wife of George H.W. Bush, who was the 41st president speaking.
Okay.
So we've got a nice wide array from very early to very current.
And that's Lunch
with the First Ladies.
With the First Ladies. And that takes place at Tri Rivers?
Correct. And again, all of those tickets are being sold now. So if you're interested in any of those events, I would not wait because they usually sell out pretty quickly.
Very good. Okay.
Especially the luncheons, because they're a limited number. The dinner this year, I think we're going to try to sell 350 tickets. We're going to expand our ticket base a little bit. The facility that we used last year, the Dayspring Wesleyan Church, after we got it all set up last year, we realized we could probably set up a few more tables.
Oh, okay.
So normally we cut it off at 300, and I think this year we're going to try to move it up to 350.
Well, that'd be good.
Accommodate a few more people.
Sure helps all the volunteers, and yet the money then goes to support the historical
Absolutely,
society.
And it has become a significant portion of our operating budget, the money that we derive from these lunches and the dinners. So it's a very important part of our fundraising efforts to keep our budget going. And we're operating on a budget of around $135,000 to $140,000 a year, depending on donations, which sounds like a lot. But when you're operating a museum our size with some other locations like the Lens School and the Log House at the fairgrounds, and we have some staff now. We've got a couple of full-time people and three or four part-time. So it takes a lot of dollars to keep the operation going. And we don't depend on any state or federal money. We do have a nice donation from the county commissioners here in Marion County. They give us $20,000 a year, which helps tremendously.
Well, that would,
But other than that, all of our funds are derived from events that we hold and our memberships and our donations from our Pride memberships. So it takes every penny of it, Charlie. It really does.
Oh, I can only imagine, yes. And when it all began, and the Marion County Historical Society was located in a small house, donated. And now, do you still have the Marion Stars?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Really?
You sure do.
Oh, my
We'd
goodness.
We'd love to digitize them all, but it's so expensive.
Oh, it would be.
But they are so, take up so much space.
History.
Oh, my word, yes.
Too.
Yes, they
take
up a lot of space.
Well, we're going to pause now, and we'll be back in a few minutes with more from Fred Malone. So stay tuned on WWGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect.